The very first book of the Bible is called Genesis. Very appropriately, the word Genesis means beginning, and the first book of the Bible is full of just that. Stories of beginnings. In our modern language, we use the word Genesis to refer to creative beginnings of much smaller things too, but never insignificant or unimportant ones. Our lives are full of Genesis moments, right? Some big, some small. Beginning moments when God is up to something new. And that's what we're focusing on during this Easter season. The truth that the God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead is a God of Genesis, who is always doing a new thing. And the question for us as God's people is whether or not we perceive it, embrace it, journey with it. We've talked about Jesus' resurrection itself. We've talked about Jesus appearing to Thomas. We've talked about Jesus on the road to Emmaus with his disciples, opening up their minds to understanding the scriptures about him. All as moments when God does a new thing and God's people respond in ways that make life bigger and fuller and more beautiful. Today we look at a Genesis moment for a man named Abram. And how when God does a new thing, it can lead us into realizing a deeper purpose for our lives. Let us pray. God, open our hearts and minds to your word for us this day. We pray that it would take root there, that it would grow us and transform us, that we might live for you and bear fruit for your kingdom. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. A reading this morning from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. I invite you to listen for God's word. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your land, your family, and your father's household for the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name respected, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Those who curse you, I will curse. All the families of the earth will be blessed because of you." Abram left, just as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all of their possessions, and those who became members of their household in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as the sacred place at Shechem, at the Oak of Moreh. The Canaanites lived in the land at the time. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "I give this land to your descendants." So Abram built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. From there he traveled toward the mountains east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and worshipped in the Lord's name. Then Abram set out toward the arid southern plain, making and breaking camp as he went. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, Genesis chapter 12 is a chapter of new beginnings. It's a hinge point for the rest of the book of Genesis and really for the rest of the Bible. God is trying something new. Up to this point, the story has been a series of narratives about human failure, human beings failing to do what God has created and called them to do. God created Adam and Eve to be God's image bearers, to represent God within creation, to be fruitful, multiply, partner with God, to help rule the world on God's behalf, bringing about more order and more beauty. They rebel and they want to live and rule on their own terms apart from God, and this leads to sin entering into the world, and it all begins to just unravel. From brother murdering brother to the great flood to the family destroying drunkenness of Noah, things are not going well. Then Genesis 11 ends with human beings deciding to build this ridiculous mud brick tower in order to make a name for themselves and avoid living into God's purpose for human beings, which was to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. They want to stay put. And God scatters them from Babylon. Clearly, something else, something new must be done. And so, God does a new thing. God calls a specific family into a cosmic purpose and task to enact God's work. We know from the genealogy at the end of chapter 11 that Abram and Sarai, or Abraham and Sarah, as they are later called, and their family have migrated out of Babylon. They're a nomadic family. Abram is old and Sarai is unable to have children. They probably thought that their place and their purpose in life was pretty much established already. Abram probably thought that he had already lived out his most important days, and same with Sarai. But God does a new thing. And this new thing unsettles Abram and his family and brings them into a larger purpose. God tells Abram to leave his land, leave his family and his father's household, and to go to the land that God will show him. There is no introduction, no, hello, I'm God, the Creator, nice to meet you, just a call to do something new and hard. Land, family, and father's household, those are the identity and purpose givers in the ancient world. All in increasing intimacy that Abram is asked to leave. Land, family, father's household. Land didn't just provide subsistence. It was connected to family and meaning and purpose. What you did with your land. Family and household were really the only safety nets that existed. And taking care of your family and ensuring that your family continued and that your family's name continued were everything, important pillars of culture then. God's call, this new thing that God is inviting Abram into, unsettles him, literally, from all of this. Abram will go from unsettled to sent. And this unsettling would have been unsettling. Leaving behind what's familiar, letting go of your roots, letting go of things and people and places that contributed to your makeup and your purpose is unnerving. It's uncomfortable. There's so much uncertainty and unknown here. God is asking Abram to go to a land that God will show him. So he doesn't even know where he's going yet. It's a big, big ask. But the new thing comes with powerful promises. I will show you the land, God says, promising God's presence. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and you will be a blessing. I will make your name great. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through your family. In the midst of this new thing that God is calling Abram's family into, God is telling Abram that this is not a horizon he enters into alone or without help or without guidance. In the previous story in chapter 11 of the Tower of Babel, it's the people who scramble to make a name for themselves, trying to manufacture purpose out of pride. Here, it's God's promised presence in the midst of Abram responding to this new thing that makes Abram great. Abram will not make his name known, but God's name known. Abram's purpose will be realized in God's purposes. His trust in the promise will move him and will mean a new level of life and meaning for him. God calls Abram into the new thing God is doing. God promises, makes amazing promises, and Abram obeys. It's really amazing. Abram goes for it. Genesis says Abram just left as the Lord told him. He takes his family, his possessions, he sets off on an adventure with God, traveling, pitching his tent, and worshiping. And as he does this, he is made alive to the reality that he doesn't merely exist, but is called forth into an amazing divine purpose. No longer is this simply just a semi-nomadic family in the Middle East trying to subsist and exist, but in that precise work, they are partnering with God to help rescue and bless the world. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. I mean, wow. Life infused with meaning and purpose and mission. The call to do something new. The unsettling that comes with it. God's promises. Abram's faithful and courageous response all lead to a bigger, fuller, dynamic life. A life that taps in more deeply to what it means to be God's image bearer. By following God's call, by stepping into this new thing, Abram ushers in God's blessing for his family and for all the families of the earth. Friends, God still calls us. Let me say that again. God still calls us. God still beckons us, invites us into new things God is doing, whether it's Abram, whether it's Moses, whether it's Samuel, whether it's Jonah, whether it's Mary, whether it's the disciples, whether it's us. God's new thing never floats above the level or experience of God's image bearers. God's people, you and me, never floats above us, but involves us, implicates us. Us saying yes to God's call is still how God takes to the world. It's still the way God takes to the world. And it's still how we realize a great, big, beautiful purpose in and for our lives. If we could ask Abram or Abraham or Sarah or Moses or Isaiah or Mary or Jonah about saying yes to God's new thing, I don't imagine any of them would say it was easy. And I don't imagine any of them saying, you know, after I stepped into this new thing God was calling me to do, life just got so dull and boring and meaningless. I felt like I had no purpose anymore. I mean, have you ever heard anyone who said yes to God calling them into something new later say, yeah, but man, it just made my life so much more dull and small and insignificant. Right? Abram went from moving to beginning a movement of God in the world. Moses went from shepherding sheep to shepherding God's people from danger. Peter and James and John went from fishing to fishing for people. Samuel went from listening for God to helping other people listen to God. Mary went from saying, let it be with me according to your word, to watching and hearing her son Jesus say, let your will be done. Call into something new, the unsettling, the promised presence, the faithful response, the deep purpose, friends. This week as I was writing this and thinking about all of this, I thought about the families who felt God calling them into this new thing about 6 years ago of beginning a church in Rollsville. Unsettling? Yes. God's promised presence? Yes. Stepping out in faithful response? Yes. I'm guessing if you asked them about what life has been like, they wouldn't say that life has been easy, but I also don't imagine them saying that life has been so dull and boring and purposeless since we said yes to God. In fact, I bet if you asked them, they would say, this has been an incredible transformative adventure for our family, and we've been a part of some amazing God things. We've experienced a deeper purpose. Life is bigger and fuller and more meaningful. We couldn't have imagined not doing it now. And that's as it should be. It's as it should be. We are not bystanders. Our purpose, friends, isn't simply to exist. Nor is our chief purpose in life to make a name for ourselves by whatever means necessary. Our purpose isn't tied to making our names known. Our purpose is tied to making God's name known. We find our purpose in God's purpose for us. And we realize more and more of that deep purpose each and every time we find the faith and the trust to say yes to a new thing that God is inviting us into. Every time we say yes and step into something new that God is calling us to do. My wife and mother-in-law recently did a mother-daughter date with doing pottery, and it reminded me of a retreat that I went on one time where I also got to throw pots. I remember thinking back on it, how long it felt like that it took for a lump of clay to resemble anything that like a cup or a bowl, or what a cup or a bowl is designed to do, or for it to be functional. And yet, gradually, bit by bit, as I interacted with the clay, it started to look more and more like what it was purposed for. Cup, capable of holding water. A bowl, capable of holding food. I wonder if that's what it's like for us living our lives as God's people. Over the course of our lives, every time God invites us, calls us into something new, and every time we find the courage and faith to say yes, we end up being shaped just a little bit more by God into the vessel we are purposed to be. A means by which God blesses the world and seeks to restore what's broken. And we realize bit by bit, oh wow, whoa, I'm a beautiful person with incredible purpose written on my heart, and no matter what I'm doing, from flipping burgers or taking care of my kids or running a business or caring for patients or having dinner with friends, I'm representing God. I'm a vessel of blessing, of God's love. I'm loving. I'm helping create more order and beauty in this world. I'm helping people come to know Jesus. Without question, the biggest invitation to step into something new in my life came with God calling me into ministry. I began to feel a tug in my heart toward ministry as a junior in college. I had said yes to smaller invitations to serve in leadership in the campus ministry I was a part of, and that meant leading some Bible studies and planning outreach opportunities or retreats, helping to lead worship on our Thursday gatherings. And each time that I said yes to one of those, the call got stronger and stronger. Now, I wish I could tell you that your pastor had the courage and the faith to step out and say yes and go for it right away like Abram, but I didn't. I tried to brush aside the call for the next year and a half. It was too unsettling for me. And finally, after some pretty strange emotional experiences in worship, after opening up with the people who knew me and loved me the best, and after working at a job where I quickly realized this is not what I'm supposed to be doing, I said yes to God. I embraced the new thing God was calling me into with all of its uncertainties, with all of my uncertainties. And ever since, life has not been easy, but it's been more beautiful, more purposeful than I could have ever imagined. Have you ever felt called by God into a new thing? Might God be calling you right now to step out in faith into a new thing? God might be calling you to step into a new job that leverages your skills and your passions better. God might be calling you to start a family. God might have called you to try out a new church, or God might be calling you to give church another chance, or for the first time. Maybe God is calling you to pick up a Bible and just start reading it some, or spend some more time in prayer beyond the pre-meal blessing. Maybe God is calling you, inviting you to get to know your neighbors better, or to invite someone to your home for dinner, or to invite someone to church, or maybe God is calling you to find opportunities to serve in the community. Maybe God is calling you to give to God's church. Maybe God is calling you to lead in a new way. Maybe God's calling you to step into a B3 group, or maybe God's calling you to pursue a dream that you've deferred for too long. Maybe God's calling you to have that hard conversation that you've been putting off with someone. I don't know. But I know that God is always calling us into something new. So whatever God might be calling you into, whatever God might be calling you toward, I hope that it unsettles you in a good way. Because it probably means it's the real deal. I hope you know deep in your bones that this invitation to a new thing is backed up with some incredible promises, including God's promised presence with you. And I hope that you'll step out in faith and say yes. Because that's how we'll connect more deeply with a purpose that is deeper and bigger and more beautiful than we can imagine.